What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita and the Brooke Strzok Show.
Hey, everyone. Back again for more fun.
We're back once again, Deal or No Deal Island, episode 8. What was this one? What were they asking us? Are we what? I can't remember.
Shoot, I never pay attention to titles of shows, so I'm relying on you, Jack.
It was, are you, it wasn't calculating, it wasn't intuitive, it was, are you, it was an odd one. It was like a, it wasn't one that I expect. I'll look it up as we, yeah, as we talk. I'll pull it up. But gotcha. Episode 8, we are going to dive into this episode, give you our post-game analysis, so to speak. This is like, this was great because, Brooke, I know you're not on Instagram, but I want to give a shout out to Stephanie Mitchell in this cast, because she's been giving us a lot of love on Instagram. And she said what she likes about this show is that we have the exit interview, so you get firsthand from the person who was most recently eliminated. She likes this show because it's like a couple of reality TV fans who weren't there, and she's like, oh, this is great, I get an idea of what the viewers are thinking. And then the insider show with Miranda and another person from the cast, where you get to go behind the scenes a little bit. So she was saying she's been giving us a lot of love on Instagram. She was on last week. So if you guys are interested in this content, I've already released the exit interview with Dawson. Today, Brooke and I are going to do our recap. And then later in the week, Dawson will join Miranda and myself. So we got a lot of great content. Make sure you guys are all subscribed to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube, or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Any thoughts on that, Brooke?
No, Stephanie? Thanks, Stephanie, for watching and things. And yeah, sorry I'm not on Instagram. I miss out on a lot by that, but it saves me time in my life not to have more social media than I need. So anyway, yeah, it's fun to hear that the cast are watching, and we appreciate that. And we love, like, I love getting, even though I'm not participating in the exit interviews, I love getting to watch those and stuff and get that extra insight into things. So, and I hear Stephanie's a big reality show fan too. Yeah. So it's fun. And it's fun to like watch this having done Survivor.
Yeah, absolutely. So Brooke's got the Survivor Guatemala background, and she 100% would be joining me on these exit interviews if they weren't when she's in court working her job as an attorney.
So. Yes. Gotta pay the bills somehow.
Brooke, what'd you think of episode 8? Where do we start? What'd you think of this episode?
Oh, I've been anticipating and waiting to see, you know, what the aftermath was of Alyssa's exit and Aaron's meltdown and everything. And it didn't disappoint, you know. It was interesting. I don't think I expected him to come at Amy as hard as he did. I didn't realize that was kind of who he had the most beef with. But that was interesting to watch. And it was sweet to see Rob come alongside him and try and be like, hey, you know, pull it together. I need to not lose you. Like, I mean, that's a huge thing in Survivor when you, you know, when you carefully do these alliances and you have your numbers and this is your safety and you're trying to figure out, it's like chess. You have to figure out not just your next move, but then how that's going to affect the next moves. And if you lose someone that you're relying on, it just throws your whole game. And so, you know, Rob's trying to, you know, comfort him and Stephanie and everybody. So
did you have anybody, I mean, you were only on like 4 or 5 episodes, but did you get, was there anyone that you,
ouch, Jack.
Was there anybody that went when you were on there that you experienced something like that? Or do you think it was when you got booted that affected other people?
Well, yeah. No, I was going to say before then, like we on my tribe, we just voted out Jim the first episode and he'd gotten injured. So that was a no-brainer, you know. And then after that, we won. No, my whole thing was everybody that I had, you know, initial alliance with when they shuffled the tribes went to the other side. And I was like, oh my gosh. I like here I'd been thinking, oh, I've got this made till the merge because I've got these people on my team. We know who we're going to pick off. And then I lost my entire alliance. And I was like, ah, there goes my game. And, you know, and then the fact that I got blindsided. And then the same thing happened with like, you know, Margaret on my team. And, you know, we're an alliance. And then, they were an alliance with me. And then when Judd flipped, you know, it was just a matter of them getting picked off and things. So it was rough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I mean, we could call Danny up. I bet she would say that she felt sad, like probably a little bit like that, even being on the other tribe when you got voted out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think so. I know I got really close with Danny just in the, you know, in the short couple of weeks that I was on there and stuff. So yeah, it's hard. And it is, it's kind of an emotional thing too, because you're going through an experience that no one else can understand. And it's just that group of people that are there with you experiencing it. And so you, you know, you kind of bond through the trauma of what you're going through and then you lose someone. So it's in a very, you know, I get Aaron's emotions on it. It's tough. It's really tough.
So that's where Aaron is at, really, this entire episode. This is a different, I mean, I felt like it was a noticeable difference between this Aaron and the Aaron that we had seen through the first seven episodes. Because, like, first of all, you mentioned that confrontation with Amy. I did not get the sense that Amy was trying to start a fight or anything like that. I think he sits down, you have a little debrief after any vote on these shows. Like, I mean, when Jim got voted out, you guys probably sat around the campfire and talked about what happened. And if anyone was, I think it was a clean sweep though. Everybody voted Jim, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in a situation where people are obviously going for different people, you have some kind of debrief, and that's what it looked like it was. And I think Amy was trying to say, again, we only saw bits and pieces of it. And I'm glad we got a chance to hear from Alyssa and Stephanie on this show and get both of their perspectives. And if Alyssa wants to talk about it in greater detail, she's always welcome to do that. We only got 15 minutes with her. Stephanie got an hour. But that confrontation, there was a lot more, as Stephanie talked about, as Alyssa talked about. It was longer than we saw. And what Amy was saying in this little sitting around the table, which seemed like a very mild conversation, by the way. Mm-hmm. And she just said, like, hey, Aaron, what I didn't like how apparently he had said something to her, which I don't think we saw on the show because I don't remember Aaron saying anything. But it sounded like she was saying that she said something and Aaron probably told her to stop talking. And Amy was like, let me express how I feel in these moments, just as I'm letting you express how you feel in these moments right now. And then it felt like Aaron just really like took that the wrong way and overreacted, and then he stormed off.
Yeah, no, that's the thing too, is it kind of, that's why I said I was a little surprised that he was so, you know, just hurt by his conversation with Amy, because I didn't get that being the crux of things at, you know, when they were facing the banker and all the comments were made and then the heated arguments happened. So it was kind of interesting how that played out. And it was like you said, it was a totally different Aaron this episode. Before, he was really, you know, you could tell he was, you know, fighting in the game, like to stay in there, and also kind of being a little mischievous. And like, I think he felt like, you know, he was kind of in his groove. Like he felt like he could kind of be a little more in control. Like, you know, you saw the challenge where he told like Rob, no, I'm not throwing this challenge for you. Yeah, so he's doing really great. And I was so sad to watch like Aaron on this episode, because it's almost like he gave up, like, especially during the challenge. It was really hard. And so I'm hoping he just took the time, processed, you know, Alyssa leaving, and then he gets his head back in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you said, you know, he looked like he was like probably a little anxious. You're always a little anxious and paranoid whenever you're playing any of these shows. Doesn't matter who you are. Like Stephanie LaGrossa, she's talking on our Traders podcast about how she's sleeping barely at all during Traders, and she lost like 15 pounds from stress. And that's Stephanie, like the gladiator, warrior, tough girl. Like everybody has some kind of anxiety and stress. And I mean, I'm sure Aaron felt some of that, but even through that, through those first seven episodes, he looked like he was having fun. He's playing the game with Boston Rob. He's a fan of Rob, it seems. He's talking about his magic cards. He's got a good friendship with Alyssa. Like he was, like you said, he was in a groove, and something just got him out of that groove, and it was losing Alyssa.
Yeah. And he was voted most trusted, right? You know, most trustworthy and stuff. So he really had like everybody had a high opinion of him too. So yeah, the whole Alyssa thing kind of tanked his game.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that confrontation, like, did you, cause like we're saying with Amy, all we saw on TV was like, hey, I just want to talk to you about this thing. I want to be able to express what I'm thinking. And then Aaron got mad and I don't exactly remember what he said, But see, like, I didn't get the sense that it was a very, like, aggressive tone of, like, hey, Aaron, calling him names or screw you or anything like that. So it was, I was surprised by his kind of the way that that played out, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, when you kind of reach the bottom of the barrel, then it doesn't take much to kind of set you off, you know? So I think that's just where Aaron was at, as he was at the bottom of the barrel. And so, you know, it wouldn't take much for him to kind of get really hurt and things. So I don't think it was just Amy. It was the combo of everything that had like transpired.
Yeah. And so then you mentioned Boston Rob, and this is like a really great showing for Rob in this episode. He had a great episode. Mm-hmm. He had a great outcome to the episode. We'll talk about all of that. Okay, I want to mention something here. So he pulls Aaron aside, or first, actually, the first person who comforts Aaron is Jordan. And Jordan really hasn't gotten a lot of screen time, and she's starting to get a little more screen time, which is nice. And we get to see like where Jordan stands in all this, because that's something we were wondering before.
Yeah, no, I noticed that too, because when Aaron and Jordan were talking together, I feel like Rob walked up, he said something where I had that same thought. I was like, now we know where Jordan stands.
Yeah, or at he least said, hey, where, team.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. That's what I remembered. It was something like, hey, team.
It's like a tough loss for us, team, but we're still fighting.
Yes, and so that's how Rob perceives it. And, you know, and who knows if Jordan has kind of got one foot on both sides, but yeah, it was interesting to hear that. Cause I'm like, okay, so it's those three. And then we've got the Night Owls.
Yeah. And he says, Rob says in this time, he's like, seriously, if someone is giving you trouble, let me know and I'll take care of it. And Rob is so smart, because if that does occur, if someone actually says something very hurtful, which it does not seem that that was the case, but hey, again, Aaron, you know, if you want to talk, if there's something that's not shown, maybe there was something that was hurtful and said to him. And if so, I would love for him to talk about that. But I think Rob is sensing this as like, he sees it kind of the way that we're seeing it, where it's like Aaron's upset. So we don't actually get any point of Rob going and talking to anybody. And if he were to talk to somebody, like, Rob knows that this is a game, and he knows that there's, first of all, none of this stuff is personal most of the time. Not always, but it's a game. And secondly, he's not going to create a confrontation that might hurt his or Aaron's game. So I feel like if there actually was something, I think he might go have a conversation with somebody and would be very gentle and honestly not even super focused on that topic, and then he'd go back and be like, okay, I talked to that person, and Aaron would feel better, right? Yeah. Isn't that what you think would happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part that he's going to try and keep the peace on it. I think, too, it's one where, like, I mean, I've done one reality show, so I wanted to talk, but, you know, the first time so far, this is good.
Trader season 3.
Yep, I'm in. Count me in. Or Deal or No Deal Island. There's so many options. Yeah. No, it's one that when you've done this before, you start to realize it's a game, and you know that everybody will move. Most people move past it at the end, and there's no hard feelings. But when it's your first time doing it, it's really like, you did what? You said what about me? And it's like, you know, we had that on our season where people were highly offended, and everybody's gotten over it by now for the most part, I think. But that stuff happens. And so he's just got so much experience. Like, he's done this so much. He's like, guys, this is not the world. There's a life outside of being on this show, and you'll get back to it eventually.
Now, it was odd because we left off with the cliffhanger of him walking off the set, Aaron, that is. I thought we would pick up like right in that spot, but instead we're just like back at camp, and it's like, oh, he's okay now. So
yeah,
that was a little interesting of a choice. I thought that they would have if they were going to do a cliffhanger, I thought there would have been some kind of suspenseful, like maybe there's a conversation where, like, what I was expecting was, I thought that they would send Rob over to talk to Aaron, get it on camera, and be like, hey, buddy, you're going to want to stay in this game. The game's not over yet. Let's go. And we did end up getting some of that, but that wasn't, I thought it was going to start with that.
Yeah. No, I feel like a lot of times though, when you're out of those scenes, then they don't have the camera crew to do that kind of stuff. So they pause the game and get everybody back there. Now, if you watch The Bachelor and Bachelorette, that's the sort of thing where like when someone's storming off, the cameras are like chasing after them. And they're trying to call. That's more that type of reality show. They don't do that as much in these game show types. So,
but I do want to bring up something from this conversation and actually the confessional, because this is something I already noticed on Facebook groups and probably on Reddit. And yes, I read that stuff to get an idea of what the fans are thinking. There was some people are already talking about this comment that Rob made where he said Aaron's like Larry Bird. And there was a year in the playoffs where Larry Bird was sick. And the Celtics were in the playoffs and he had to play through being sick and they didn't have anybody of his caliber on the bench. Aaron's sick right now. We got nothing on the bench. We need him to keep going. Now, the thing that people are starting to criticize and point out is they're saying, no, that wasn't Larry Bird. That was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had the flu game in the 97 finals, I think it was 98 finals, 97 or 98. But I am here to tell you, as our sports reporter and expert, that in 1983, the Boston Celtics, Larry Bird, missed game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals because he was sick. He had to play through game three and game four. They got swept by the Bucks. Boston Rob was 7 years old at the time. So Boston Rob is Boston sports historian. He knows his stuff. Don't challenge him.
Yeah, so he correctly, that was a correct reference that he was making, even though people tried to correct him. Interesting. These are fun sports facts that I do not, that I don't know. Although I do love basketball and I've, you know.
You were alive then.
Yes, I was alive then. So
I wasn't. I was born 11 years later.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that up because that was something I already saw people talking about. Like, don't challenge Rob on the Boston sports trivia. Like I think it just sports trivia in general. I think he knows his stuff.
Yeah. No, but as Rob has proven to be very well-rounded, he's clearly, you know, gifted at competing in reality shows. He knows his sports trivia, and psychologically we saw in the game, like he can read people. So yeah.
Yeah, don't question the Rob father. He was right here. I just want to point that out from being my perspective as a reporter in sports and being a fact checker on all this stuff. So, all right, Brooke, we got to talk about the big storyline from this episode. Did Dawson get bribed to leave the show?
So is that what you're calling when they do like the 40,000 to Miranda and then the 100,000?
That's what the fans are wondering. That's what they're saying on these social media boards is it bribery? Is there a way that they can say like, well, there's a certain outcome that we want to influence. So if we pay certain people to leave the game, we might get an outcome that we're hoping for.
Okay, so that's really interesting. And remember, I talked about this when we were talking about how the banker makes offers. Yeah, and
exactly.
I said,
you brought it
up. Because I was explaining in the reality shows, like we had someone at all times. So, you know, Burnett Productions, Mark Burnett's company, produces Survivor. So they're the ones out there doing the production, filming and all that. But there's somebody from CBS there monitoring that you're following the game path that you've laid out in advance. So the question would be, has it always been in the books that at, you know, episode 7, whoever's playing, we're going to do an offer of $100,000? And for Miranda's episode, was that always on there? Or do they do that on the fly? And if they do, is that allowed under those game show rules that you have to have that stuff laid out so you don't influence the outcome of it? So it's interesting, and I don't know where you'd have to go talk to production to know, but that's a really interesting one legally. Yeah.
The thing that I am like, so this, I will say, you know, two of the last three episodes have been, for me, the two worst episodes this season. This was one of them. And the reason why is because like, we were building up to something, and this happened 2 weeks ago. We were building up to something and we had no elimination. This time, like, you end up, at least in the case with Miranda, I thought Miranda's episode was good because they did not say 40,000 and you have to leave. It's 40,000 and you can roll the dice and your probability is low. Mm-hmm. So in this case, they basically just said 100,000, you're off the show, which is just like, it's odd to me because set aside what we're talking about with the bribery thing.
Yeah.
Is it good TV to just have people kind of removing themselves from the game? Like, don't you want them to be fighting and competing?
Well, yeah, it's, well, okay, back up. So first, yes, I agree with you. The one where there was no elimination, it was like such a letdown.
Yeah,
you
know? It really was.
Like, womp, womp. There's no one going home. Then, I actually really liked this episode still. Even, I mean, it was one where, you know, my son and I were watching around at the edge of our seats, like, is he going to take it? Is he not? Oh my gosh, he took it. Okay. Like, that's crazy, you know? Yeah. And so I still thought it was good TV. But yes, that nuanced difference of the fact that Miranda still had the chance to compete in the game, where this was straight up, hey, you know, you're out if you don't take it. And so it does. It seems different and doesn't seem, it almost seems a little bit more like an incentive to just, you know, get someone out and to keep the people you want in the game. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's just to me, like, I'm happy that Dawson got the money, but the moment was just so weird because you don't get like a joyous, like, woo, I got my $100,000. It's like, I got $100,000. I got to leave now.
But for everybody else, they're rejoicing because they're all safe. You know, he took himself out. I know on Survivor, that was one of the big things because, in some of the seasons before mine, people had been, you know, like quitting in the middle of it. And so that was one of the big things during casting is they wanted to make sure that they were not getting any quitters, that you were like upon pain of death. And they had a rule too, that you weren't allowed to like, I think they had said something where you weren't allowed to ask people to vote you out. Like even like you couldn't quit, but also you couldn't like lobby to have yourself, you know, voted out. You couldn't vote for yourself, things like that. Cause also it messes with the game too, because that does create a problem for production when you've got these days, you're eliminating people and somebody comes out early and then they have to kind of restructure stuff. So yeah. So you don't want a game where people are just going to opt out. But in this one, since he's going out and someone's going to get eliminated anyway, it doesn't cause any, you know, chaos for them on that level.
So the aftermath of it is it's fantastic for Rob, Aaron, and I mean, honestly, I think Jordan is maybe in the best spot out of anybody, because if she's in with that group, she's number three. So she,
yeah.
if Rob can keep winning these immunities and he's able to dictate who goes home, which is hard because in this situation, Rob's going to have to win immunity and then put Aaron in to face the banker, and Aaron's going to have to win that. Because otherwise, he puts in one of the Night Owls, and they're going to take their shot at Aaron. But in this situation, hypothetically, let's say Rob and Aaron are able to control things. Jordan is going to, no matter what, get to three, and she's never going to be the top target by the other side, because the other side is going to shoot at the other two. So I think Jordan's playing a great game.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is you want to be the bottom of the alliance, because then the other side isn't targeting you. So Jordan's, well situated in this. And so the question is, do you think Rob can get immunity every week?
Well, that's an interesting thing, is Nick is now emerging. I think Nick won the last week with him. Nick won this one. And I honestly, this is something I would ask Nick when I talked to him, did Nick try to tone down some of his athletic ability at the start? Because my strategy would have been, I would have played similar to Nick, and I don't know if Nick was doing this intentional or not. I would not have tried to win the first few immunities, because then I would have gotten blood on my hands by picking the person who goes in to face the banker. You're always going to upset somebody with that decision. So if you can kind of, I know some people have, like Dan Giesling would do that on Big Brother, where he just tank him like the HOH competitions, because he's like, I don't want to put blood on my hands. So that's where I'm wondering if Nick is now at a point where he's like, okay, we're towards the end game. I'm going to turn it on. And if you just look at everybody athletically, physically, like, he's got to be the strongest and most athletic competitor. I mean, Rob is maybe the greatest competitor in the history of TV, but Rob's almost 50 now. So if you get Rob versus Nick, it could be like Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
Well, see, this is the thing in these games. You can't underestimate people who aren't the biggest and strongest looking. Like, I had that happen on my team, and it was so frustrating, you know, because people size up, oh, that person's, like, Judd's the biggest on your team. He's going to be the most athletic. That was not the case, you know? So I think for Nick, because, you know, they also create these challenges where, like, you see some of them have to do with balance or it's reading people. So it's just the brawn isn't always going to carry the day. And, I mean, kudos to Nick if he was being strategic and not winning. But I can't imagine going into the game new, not really know, like, this is Deal or No Deal Island didn't exist before this. And you don't know how things are going to go. And there's millions of dollars on the line. So I can't imagine that he wasn't trying his hardest to just get immunity at the start and, like, make sure that he was still in. But who knows? It'll be interesting to hear from him at some point.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, is if I ask him, there could always be the revisionist history. You know, you don't know if, like, you know, you could very easily say, oh, yeah, it wasn't. I really didn't want to win those. It's like, don't know. Maybe I'll ask Miranda or Dawson later. But this excursion was really cool. This is one of the better excursions that I think we've had. Did you like it?
Yes, I was going to say this is one of my favorite, like, excursions, challenges, whatever, that I've seen on, like, Survivor or, you know, on Deal or No Deal Island. I thought this was a great one. And it's kind of funny because I was like, gosh, you haven't seen, I guess they've had some like that on Survivor. We have to follow ropes and untangle and things. But this one was great. I thought it was a brilliant idea and it worked well with the cases. And it looked so hard. And people, like, under the branches and you're losing stuff in the swamp. I really enjoyed this one.
Do you think you would have been good at this? I think you would have been good at this as, like, an endurance kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty precise about stuff. So I feel like this would have been something that I could have, like, you know, because again, it's not, the brawn doesn't necessarily help you. Honestly, all the smaller types, like Aaron, almost seemed like they'd be better to crawl through branches and do stuff like that and not lose track of things. So yeah, I would have loved to have done something like that.
I think that it was a challenge, like you said. It probably, if you're not super, super big and you have good endurance and you have good precision and focus and you're locked in on that, that's where I think you could succeed. It was definitely an endurance thing, I think, above everything.
Yeah, this is the thing that I'm always curious on. I wish they did it in all, like, these types of reality shows where they actually, even though they can only show you snippets of what's happening, I'd love to see if they said, like, you know, hey, five, and sometimes they'll do that on ones in Survivor where somebody has to stand for so many hours, but I'd really like to know how long these challenges go. Like, hey, this is hour, you know, we're at hour two or we're at hour three, because that's the thing people don't realize is some of these go for so long and you just don't know because you're only seeing snippets of it.
So Rob goes for the top case and Nick kind of outruns him. So then he's like, all right, this is some of the brilliance of Boston Rob is, well, I'm going to look and see if I see cases that just look like they're kind of hard to find or hard to locate, hard to go get. So he sees a case and then he sees Aaron just kind of lollygagging and like, okay, this is what we're talking about with Aaron. This is not like a week or two ago, 2 weeks ago, when he had to go and try to jump up and light the thing, he was trying really hard to do it. He wasn't able to do it, but he was giving it so much. And I just didn't see that in this episode. He looked like his heart was just not in it. He looked like he was kind of, he just was not the same competitor that we had seen in weeks before. And he's just kind of, he says he was trying, but it just didn't seem like, I don't know. I don't really know what to compare it to, but he eventually, Rob is like, I see him kind of lollygagging and he's like, that's my guy. I need my guy to get something good. Come on. Like, so he points over to a case to him. And I think that was probably going to be a pretty good case. I don't know if we ever found out what that value would have been.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't finish it. And so then Rob magically finds another great case somewhere.
I know. because he's like the golden boy. He keeps getting these things. Well, yeah, that's the thing is there's ones like you see these shows where people struggle, where it's like they keep trying to climb a wall and they keep sliding down. And they try again, and they slide in down. But and even if it, like even though they're kind of like feeling defeated, they keep trying. And
yeah. Do you remember Cerie like, with the balance beam on Survivor? She kept trying to do the balance beam. And she did it eventually.
Yes. And they just keep, but Aaron didn't look like he was like struggling. Yeah. He looked like he'd given up, that it was just kind of like just dragging himself. And so it was really like, it was really sad. I was like, come on, Aaron, this is not like, and I think it's hard for fans to watch too, because it's like, oh my gosh, you've been given this opportunity. Don't just throw it away. Cause people will complain about that too. When people quit on Survivor, they're pretty vicious about like, hey, you took up a spot that other people would like give their left arm to do. And so it's hard to see Aaron because, and it's also one of those too, like, yeah, it's super fun to play the game when you feel like you're on top of the world, but then like, welcome to like Stephanie, who was being targeted at the start. You know, she's really, you know, she's like in the second episode, I think, where everybody was kind of coming at her. And so now Aaron's playing where he's not on top of the world and he's kind of giving up. And it's like, that's part of it is like, you have to keep going and keep fighting, even when things don't look like they're going your way. Cause so many times people save themselves from the brink of like, you know, being off a show and then they come back to win. So
yeah, and Stephanie, again, just being tapped into social media, no one's been getting it worse than her over the past week. And it's not slowing her down. She's still posting her Instagram stories. I did actually talk to her the other day, and she said she doesn't mind the internet hate. She's like, you know, I got thick skin. I'm built for it, you know? So just off that point. But yeah, like I was thinking about with Aaron, now I thought about what the analogy is like, so you have one teenager, right?
One teenager and almost we're 6 months away from two teenagers.
Okay. So with that age, you got 12 and 14, right?
Yep.
So when this felt like to me, and maybe you haven't gotten there quite yet because they're not old enough. Do you ever like take your kids to do something and it's like, this is going to be so fun. Come on. And it's like, the kid is like, wants to be on their phone and doing something else. And like, watching a movie or something like that. Mom, this is lame. I don't want to. Like, that's what it looked like.
Yes, no, it did. It was like, you know, he just did not look like he wanted to be there. He was done with it. And so, yeah, it was just, you know, but I think he was like, he just seemed really, really depressed this episode, which was sad. And so
I really hope he gets his swagger kicking again in the next episode. And then like later he gets to the, you know, Nick wins the challenge. He wins the excursion. And Aaron is like going to Rob. He's not in the best of spirits. And Rob's like, you've got to go over there and you got to say, hey man, I want to play. And like, Aaron says, I don't want to talk to these people. And it's like, you know, again, like on these shows, there are going to be times where you're going to be really upset with people, but you got to find a way to try to keep maneuvering and socializing. And, you know, he probably had the correct read. He's probably saying, well, even if I try, like, they're not going to let me play the banker, but you still got to try.
Yeah, because you never know. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to just fight until the end and find your, like, in no matter what way. Well, and I want to back up, too. An interesting thing for me on this excursion was the start of it. Where do you pour your sand? That was the politics of it all. And it was so shocking to me. You know, I just was like, oh, everybody's going to pour their sand in Rob's because that's who they want to hold back. And everyone's like, oh gosh, I don't want to call out Rob. And it's funny because I'm like, come on, everybody knows that Rob's being targeted. Rob knows he's being targeted. But everyone's going to pretend that no one knows that this is the underlying current of everything. And then it's funny that Aaron, who honestly, you didn't even need to give him all the sand to give him the late start. I don't think he would have finished either way. You know, and he's the one that got the most, he's the one that got the most sand. And I was like, I feel like Aaron was the least threatening in this challenge.
Yeah. And I think it just goes back to the way that Rob has played reality TV for 22, 23 years now. And that's going back to Survivor Marquesas one of his first sound bites was "Fear keeps people loyal." That's from The Godfather, and that's his his whole shtick. Is he's the Rob Father. He plays like a mob boss. He strikes fear into people. People don't want to oppose him, and we got to give him credit there because like it makes all the sense in the world to put it on Rob. Now Dawson did say something interesting. The challenge, I can't remember exactly the quote was, but he said in the exit interview, he thought that the way that Joe was framing the excursion was that it was going to be more of a mental challenge. They didn't know what it was going to be. And therefore, he went for Aaron. But even though it's a mental challenge, I'm still putting it on one of the best competition people, and he's and one of the smartest competition people in the history of the show. Like I am 100% putting it on Rob.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is Rob would be good. I mean, he's highly intelligent too. He would be good at those types of challenges. So it is, yeah, it's just interesting that everybody, and one also too, clearly no one has fear of retribution from Aaron, but the fear of retribution from Rob.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. And so everyone ends up getting something except for Stephanie. So Stephanie looks like she's in a pretty good, this is like, I love it when these do these challenges on Survivor. This is also a challenge that was introduced on Rob's season, the coconut chop challenge, where it was like an immunity challenge and there was a row 2-4 and there were 7 people from row 2. And 3 from Mata Amu, which was Rob's original tribe, or 2 maybe. I can't remember. There were 5? It was 5 and 4. Yeah, so 9 people. And there were like 3 people. So 7 from one tribe and 2 from the other tribe. I'm pretty sure that was the numbers. And the way that the show had been set up the whole time was that there was this in-group of the 7, which is row 2-4, and they were just going to get down to 7, and they were going to pick off the other 3, and they were going to win, and they were the villains. And this had never happened where you had a shakeup of alliances on Survivor. This is what happens on Survivor. They do the coconut challenge, or coconut chomp challenge, and everyone figures out, oh, we're at the bottom of this alliance. This is the order of how it's all going to go. And ever since then, they've done a lot of variations of that on Survivor to just kind of give an idea of, okay, this is what's going to happen. This, I know they did it on Guatemala. It was a reward challenge where I remember Stephanie didn't get, she was pretty upset when people were, it was similar to this. It was like smashing her tiki something, or like maybe it was dumping sand or rice or something, and she got mad at Lydia. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember. And it's funny, you have a much better memory for these for these things and stuff, but yes, I do remember that. Yeah, and I remember Stephanie being like ticked that you know, people were targeting her and things.
And it's, but I love it when they do this on the show, because it's a, it's like a, this is where we're going to show how people stand. And that's where I think the Night Owls were probably trying to be like a little more undercover about their alliance, who they're targeting.
Yeah.
And that'd be another thing I'll ask Dawson about later, was like, obviously to us, it's really obvious that those 4 are a clique. Maybe they don't think it's as obvious to everybody else. Maybe they think that maybe Nick had talked about how he was in with Aaron and Rob. Maybe Nick thinks that Rob thinks that he's still in with that group. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't want to blow the cover on their alliance.
Yes, but didn't I feel like at the start of the episode when Rob and Jordan and Aaron were talking, I feel like they kind of made some reference to that group. I don't know if I'm remembering correctly. So I feel like they do know that that's kind of, you know, that's a group and they're a group and they're on the outs of that.
Well, they know, but maybe the Night Owls don't know that they know. Maybe they think they're more like
discreet. That they're more undercover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. They seem to like think, they also seem to think maybe they'd each have the best chance of winning if everybody was like handicapped in some way in this challenge. But yeah, anyway, Aaron took the biggest. I don't know. I actually wonder if Aaron was like kind of mentally defeated from just getting the like if that played a factor, if he's like, I got such a late start, then screw it.
Yeah, no, I think it was one where he was already at rock bottom and then that just didn't help. Help things. And so, and when you do start off with such a significant disadvantage, you have to try extra hard. And he did not have that in him.
Stephanie got the best start. She decided to go for a case that was not the top case because she thought it would be less competitive, I believe was her rationale.
Yeah.
It ended up working out for her. She was in the top four. She was safe. Who else was safe? It was. I think it was Jordan, Aaron, Rob, or no, Aaron.
Yeah, Rob, no, Nick, Jordan, Rob,
Stephanie, and Nick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny. Nick and Rob hamming it up. They were kind of like danced around and stuff. That was, they just provide that extra entertainment and things.
It's iced tea time. It's iced tea time. And I think this is like kind of like goofy dad Rob, like. He probably likes to goof around and be like this with his kids because this is why Rob's a great character. You've got the very like serious mob boss persona. You've got the like Rob that roasts people and then the Rob that's just going to act goofy and kind of make fun of himself.
Yes. So the question is, because he's got his girls are around, he's got four girls, but they're kind of around similar ages as my kids, a little bit older. Yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if they are like, oh, dad, that's so embarrassing that you did that on TV. Because that's kind of like anything you do publicly, your teenagers are like, stop, please stop. You know?
Is that something like goofy that you would do like in front of your kids?
Oh yeah, we're a super goofy household and we love to like threaten our kids. Like, I don't know, there were boys out in the street the other day for my daughter's class and I had to drive, you know, my son to basketball and we're driving past. She's like, oh my gosh, those are kids from my grade. And I'm like, can I wait, roll down the window and say hi? And she's like, mom, don't. I'm like, I won't. But it's fun to like tease them that you're going to do that. So
Stephanie LaGrossa had a video like a few months ago where she was dropping off her oldest at school and she decided to like do a whole dance party in the car. And like, it was so funny because her daughter is the same age as Tenley, I believe. Uh-huh. And she just booked it out of the car she had never walked faster before in her life.
Yes. No, that's my 12-year-old. Like anything you say or do is like, she just goes, so cringe, mom. So cringe.
It was interesting though, because Joe says, go grab some iced tea, man. So like we've established that iced tea is like the official drink of Dealer No Deal Island. So where's the Gold Peak sponsorship?
I was going to say, so iced tea is the sponsor of Dealer No Deal, just generic iced tea.
Just any iced tea.
Maybe they're trying to lure in like that, start the bidding wars for the iced tea companies to like sponsor them for next season. I know. It's kind of a weird one how that got in there, but I wonder if that's just Joe's drink of choice. And he's like, I don't do the show unless you have iced tea at every excursion.
It'd be in like, so Arizona is definitely, well, we got to think about who are we putting our money on to get that sponsorship? Because Arizona is like my yes. favorite iced tea, but they don't do any advertising. That's part of why they're so profitable with the cheap prices. They don't put any money into advertising.
I never knew that.
So how many brands of iced tea can we name? Gold Peak is one.
I could name Arizona. That's about it. Oh, no. Yeah, no.
There's another one. There's another big one that I know we've like alternated between, but I can't remember it right now. So, hey, congrats to Gold Peak. You got the endorsement on this show.
Yes.
But that's the drink, and Brooke and I will be probably drinking iced tea on here next week.
Yes, I think
that a part of the show.
I think it's necessary if we're going to comment on the show further. We have to have iced tea.
Iced tea party. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. What else from this episode?
Gosh, Dawson's start to the game. He was killing it, just getting all the low cases. I mean, it was like almost a perfect first round. It was crazy.
He did very well, and he ends up in this situation where his decision is, here's what he has left on the board. He's got 3.25 million, 2.75, and 300. And his offer is almost $1.4 million. It's $1,300,000 399,000. I don't know why I didn't just go for a clean 1.4, but hey, whatever. I the banker does what the banker does.
Yeah.
So if he had not, so basically what that is it's a 1 in 3 chance. And then the phone rings again. It's like, well, you could take this and $100,000, but you have to leave. I just don't understand why he has to leave. Like, wouldn't it be better TV if he was like, okay, I'm going to roll the dice. And then you have the big reveal of what's in the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why that was the offer, why it differed from Miranda's. And I really want to know if that was part of, you know, if that was pre-planned, if that was laid out in the game, like steps of the game beforehand. But I guess we'll probably never know on that.
Would you have taken it? What would you have done?
It's so hard. I, you know, honestly, for 40,000, no, I would have stayed in. I would have, you know, kept going and tried. But
In the case of Miranda, it was like a 1 in 4 chance. So like, yes. She was taking a gamble either way.
Yeah.
So she still had the chance of staying in.
Well, yes, exactly. But yeah, an offer of 100,000, it's hard. It's one where, I mean, my gut is kind of no. I wouldn't. That's what I was saying at the time when my son and I were talking. I was like, no, there's just so much that you can win in this. And you're so close. You know, you're down to, what was it? It's 6 people, right? At that point.
Yeah, so if he's able to beat the banker, which he might not. But if he is, Aaron's going out no matter what. And now you got the 4 night owls, Rob and Jordan. That's the rest of that game. So you're in the majority alliance. You're probably, I don't know. I mean, maybe the shot at Aaron makes him a bigger target. But I imagine if I'm thinking about what's Rob's end game and he wants to try to, who's he going after? I think it's Nick first.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
The physical
threat. That's his biggest threat to getting immunity and things. So
that's the way Rob has to. He has to win the immunities to stay in. So he's going to take out the strongest competitor for the immunities, or who he perceives to be the strongest competitor. And then I think Stephanie would probably be the second. Stephanie or Amy probably gets targeted before Dawson because, like,
Dawson just hasn't ruffled feathers as much, you know, he really hasn't. And so, yeah, so I don't know that I would have taken it. I think, but it's hard too, because then if you continue on and lose, then you're like, and I walked away from 100,000. So it's such a conflict. Would you have taken it?
I think I would in this current stage of life I'm in, where like $100,000 would really change my life. But yeah. Like it would be, I think from a gameplay standpoint, I don't know. It's easy for me to say it, but if I think about it, just that the path of, you know, how could I win? You know, how do I stay in this game? It's just hard for me to turn down that much money though, because it is 100. I asked Dawson, I said, how low of an offer would you have taken? He said 100. He said anything less than that, he wouldn't have taken it. So this is a lot of money, although you do get taxed. So I don't know how much that is after taxes, but I mean,
it's such a hard call. And so see, I live in California. It's not cheap to live here. So 100,000 only goes so far.
That's true.
I had that thought. I was like, man, if I was like in certain states, 100,000 would go a lot farther than it does in California. So
yeah. And that's why I got to get out of Illinois so I can pay the Arizona taxes and not the Illinois taxes, which would be a little better.
Yeah.
I hate taxes. You just had the tax.
Oh yeah. It's that time of year.
Ah, awful. Hated it.
Yep.
Give me my money back, please.
Yes. Well, yeah, whoever wins this show is going to owe quite a bit in taxes, but it's worth it.
It's going to be a crazy amount.
Yeah, that's the part that I just can't believe is how much this is going to be in the end. Because we're what, at 4? What's the total pot now?
It's a lot. It's millions of dollars. So like, you know, in the promo for the season in the first week, it was like the highest offer in the history of the show. It was like $3.5 million was like an offer. How do you not take $3.5 million? Like, if that is in this case of like, you're actually at the end of the game and that's the money that you win.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think Dawson was in a really good position, and that's why I feel even though he won all that money, I do feel kind of bad for him that he had to leave. And, you know, it stinks for him because he probably feels like he's letting his alliance down a little bit, and
yeah,
he would have liked to see it through. But it's such a weird thing because on one hand, you don't take it and you go the rest of your time thinking, ugh, I passed up $100,000 just right there. But then you also have the gigantic what if now of like, well, what if I didn't take it? How far would I have gone? How much money would I have gone? So I think the smart financial move is to take the money just to be safe. But the game player in me is like, I want to keep going. Let's see this thing through. It's also tough though, because you don't know how the end game works and how you end up getting down to that final person.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe season two.
Yeah. So that's the thing too.
Money.
Yeah. Is you just don't know. Like, I mean, he can see like, hey, if I beat the banker, I've now got a 1 in 6 chance of winning millions. And that's pretty, I mean, I want to be there. I have a 1 in 6 chance of winning millions. But it's funny too, because you do see people in Survivor give up for much less. You know, the challenges are so fun when they're, you know, when they're the ones where you have to stand and wait it out or hold something or whatever. And then Jeff is like, I have a spaghetti dinner. Would anyone like this spaghetti dinner? Yeah. Anyone want to drop out of the challenge? And that's his cost people $1 million before like they drop out. And it's one where it also tells how confident someone thinks they are, but it's kind of that whole eyes on the prize. Like you're trying to like, the focus is the end game and winning millions, but hey, here's instant reward that you can take right now. And so I guess I shouldn't be shocked. Like $100,000 is a much better deal than all those people who step off of challenges in Survivor to have like a cookie or something like that.
Yeah. Kobe, I know Kobe's a friend of yours. He stepped off for a donut or like 2 donuts or something like that. And like, oh, poor Kobe. But
yeah.
Let's think about how, you know, I actually was thinking though, because when I talked to Dawson, I got a lot of really interesting stuff this morning, and I asked him what happens if you do get Aaron out, what happens after that? And he said, you know, like the alliance is going to have to cannibalize itself at some point when you've got 4 people. If Rob wins safety, Jordan might be in with some of these people too. Like I don't get the sense that it's like Rob and Aaron are clearly the targets, but Jordan, you know, while she's with that group, she's probably with some other people too. So I asked him like, what would have happened? And he said, honestly, like the fact of like having to be in that position to cannibalize itself was part of a driver for me to take the money because I didn't want to get to that point. So thinking about that, I was thinking maybe Aaron going out at this point wouldn't have been a bad thing for Rob's game, because if Rob wins immunity and Aaron's gone, it expedites that process of now all of a sudden that alliance has to turn on each other, there are cracks and things get messy.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's, I mean, there's so many different ways this stuff can play out. I think for Rob, just seeing that like keeping Aaron in a little bit longer gives him a little bit more time. But yes, on the flip side, it then would have, you know, force the hand of the other 4 to figure out who they're picking off first out of their group. And then things can fall apart pretty quickly after that.
Yeah. I don't really even know if it buys them that much time, because Aaron's not winning challenges and like keeping him safe. It's really just like, cause they're going to go after Rob before Aaron anyway. It's not like they're going to go for Aaron before Rob.
Yeah.
So I just think that the way that he can best use Aaron at this point is if he can win safety, he can put in Aaron's in the bottom 2, he can put Aaron in and then they can get out who they want to get out. That's, I think, the best way to use Aaron now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to keep going up against the banker and things.
Because if Aaron doesn't win safety and Rob has safety, you don't want to throw a night owl in and then they're going to... The only person that hasn't actually like Miranda did lose technically, and Dawson did lose, but the reason why is they got paid off really. And Miranda had a chance, but you know, she's not taking a 1 in 4 chance if she's not getting paid like $40,000. So the only person that's actually lost to the banker so far is Claudia. So most of the time people are winning. So I think that's what we talked about last week. The people are shifting their strategies and now they want to go in. And then you can also secure a personal offer. So you want to go in there now.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that's the incentive. Like if you're not going to have immunity, next best option is to go up against the banker. And I'm curious if we get any more of these offers. Like what's going to be the next one? Hey, 200,000, 500,000.
In a car maybe?
Oh, yep.
Okay, anything else in your notes that you wanted to get to?
Nope, I think that's everything.
What happens next week?
What's the name? Do we know the name of the episode yet?
No, not yet.
And I can't forget.
I'm going to look up. I got to find out what the name of this episode is. It was like, yeah. Are you... It was really weird. It was a weird name. Are you meticulous?
Oh, yes, because that was with the excursion. I remember it had something to do with, like, I was thinking it was precise or something like that because you had to follow the rope and things. So,
when was the last time you used meticulous this week? I haven't written any. I write a lot of stories. I don't think I ever used meticulous in a story. That's why I couldn't remember it.
Yes, no, I was going to say, I don't think I use it that often in stuff. Sometimes when I'm telling my kids about how well they need to clean their rooms, to be meticulous. But that never happens. It's not meticulous when my kids clean their room.
Well, Brooke and I will be back next week. You guys can subscribe to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube. We've got lots more content coming out. Next up for this week, Miranda and Dawson. We'll take a deep dive. They'll answer some of these questions that Brooke and I have about the show. Brooke and I will be back next week. Another exit interview, episode 9. Are you smart? That's my guess of what the episode name is.
All right. We'll see if you're right. Your predictions hold true.
Thank you guys for listening. Subscribe to the channel. Follow us wherever you want to get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can follow me on social media at Jack Vita Show, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And until next time, I'm Jack Vita, bringing the dancing lobsters.